God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our Gospel reading as we hear about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, especially verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. As we take a look at our text for tonight, I sort of want to begin with a cliché. How many of you have ever heard the cliché, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me? If you've heard this cliché, at least I remember it as a little boy, I may be thinking, you're right, those names will never hurt me, but sticks and stones do hurt a lot. But as I was growing up, I quickly learned that if someone does call me a name that I don't like, that hurts. And the sticks and stones may create bruises, but in time the bruises go away. But how much time does it take for the mind to forget when someone offends you? I don't know about you, but some of those great offenses I can still remember today. So as I revisit this cliche, I discover, guess what? It's not true. When people call me names or make fun of me, it sticks, and it sticks for a while, and I know that's my own issue, but it's a real issue for me. So, as we take a look at that cliché, we use that as an introduction to our text. Tonight, we look at the eve of the naming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We remember that, yes, He is named Jesus. Why? As Matthew points out in verse 21 of chapter 1, because He will save His people from their sins. Now, in the Old Testament, a name was not just some sort of designation, a combination of some sort of sounds that sounded good, but the name actually conveyed sort of the nature, the essence of a person's name. In today's society, however, when a child is about to be born and parents are asked, well, what are you going to name the child? They start thinking, you know, what sounds good, or what relative can I name this person after? In the Old Testament, that wasn't so much the case. They were going after what this person was probably going to do, who this person was going to be. It may not sound strange even in today's time, even though we don't usually do it with children. But we do it also with a reputation, so to speak. When a company is bought and sold, sometimes the name of that company goes with the new owner because that name has a certain reputation, a certain meaning. It conveys a particular message. So it is with the Old Testament concept of a name. It's very similar to this concept. What does the name Jesus mean? He will save His people from their sins. An example of this occurs in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3. We may remember how Moses was before God in the burning bush. And when Moses asked God what was his name, Moses is not asking, what should I call you? How do I introduce myself to the Almighty? That wasn't his line of thought. He but basically was asking, who are you? What are you like? What do you do? It's clear from God's response. He replies that He is the Eternal, that He is the God of our ancestors, and that He has seen the affliction of His people and will redeem them from bondage. Because a name represents the reputation of a person, a name should be treated with the same respect. Very carefully. For this reason, in the Old Testament, they didn't even want to misuse God's name, as the commandment warns. And so they would purposely spell it the wrong way so that they would never be accused of breaking this commandment. There was a lot of awe and sense over the name of God. Now, coming back into today's society, I will admit, the theological hairs on the back of my neck stand up whenever I hear this phrase, the God as you understand Him, just drives me nuts. Why? Because God has clearly revealed who He is in the Scripture. But in our culture today, we have found that people like to make and shape their own God. Again, it drives me nuts. What does our text say? Who our God is?
His name is Jesus. Why? He will save His people from their sins.
Unfortunately, even in Christianity, people get this point a little mixed up. Even worse, people attach the name to Jesus to some sort of, say, political idea, saying that Jesus would vote this way, or Jesus would be for this referendum, or Jesus would be for this idea or approach. When I read Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, I see that the Son of Mary, the Son of God, was going to be named Jesus, not to run for some political office, but to deliver people from their sins. Even just as bad. When people take the name Jesus and make it into a law statement. And what do I mean by a law statement? Basically, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have to do things this way. I thought Jesus was supposed to deliver us from sin, death, and the devil, not give us guidelines on how we live. Earlier this week, I was listening on my commute to the Christian radio station, and it was in the evening, and I caught some pastor sort of speaking a little bit about marriage, and I'm thinking, well, I'm married. Let's see if he has anything interesting to say. Apparently, he had already preached a few messages on this topic and was getting to finishing up his topic, and he was talking about how men are head of the household. I didn't have any problems with that. And then he said how men were supposed to, as Christ was head of the church, be willing to die for his wife. I'm going, whoa, okay, hold on a second. Didn't like to hear that message. My sinful nature kicks in here and says, wait a minute, I love my wife dearly. What do you mean, I have to die for her? And I knew where he was going with it, but that's how he ended his message. I'm going, wait a minute, folks. What did we just do? We took the name Jesus, applied it to marriage, and basically saying, okay, guys, you have to be willing to die for your wives. But then didn't tell us how or with whose help. Basically, that was a law message. The message basically saying, you have to do things this way or you're not acceptable to God. I go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He will be named Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. Am I always willing to die for my wife? No, there are some times I get very self-centered. Why? I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And that's where the gospel comes in. That's where this pastor sort of missed the point here. He was able to quickly use the law, but he didn't use the law to point to our Savior, the good news. The good news that I have someone to deliver me from my sins. Why? I'm a sinner. I have someone to give me and bring me to eternal life. Why? Because I can't do it myself. I need this baby born in Bethlehem, born of Mary, to be the Son of God, to be Jesus, to be the one who saves me and you from their sins. Why? Plain and simple, I'm a sinner. But too often in our world, we don't hear that message. We want the name of Jesus to reaffirm us instead of to save us. Where this pastor was trying to go with this message, underlining thought, was, you need to be more like me. No, I need a deliverer, someone who's going to save me from my sin. Not someone who's going to tell me what to do. Jesus came to earth to restore God's creation. He came to earth to restore humanity that was once lost because of Adam and Eve's sin and because our perpetual sin continues that bridge, that separation, I should say, from God. Jesus is that bridge that reconnects us to God. Jesus isn't some lawgiver. Jesus isn't some philosopher. Jesus isn't some politician. Clearly, as verse 21 says, He's what? He is our Savior. So on the eve of the naming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have to remember why He was named Jesus. Plain and simple, to the point, it tells us who He is and what He's all about. He's going to deliver us from sin. Now, in the next question,
It's probably just as important as understanding who Jesus is do you need that deliverance? As I alluded to earlier before, I'm a sinner. I have fallen short of God's glory. I take a look at the Ten Commandments and I see how I've broken them on a regular basis. That's why I need a Savior, because I can't do it myself. And when I need a Savior, I don't need to look for the next lottery ticket numbers to deliver me from my sin. I don't have to look to 2005 to deliver me from my sin. I look nowhere else except to Jesus, the one who was named Jesus, the one who is going to and has saved me from my sin. Yes, we have that little baby in a manger in the back of our mind. We also need to have why he was named that way, because he was actually going to go to the cross and die for the forgiveness of our sins. He is that Savior. The only way that that is going to be accomplished is through the cross. So as we have in the back of our mind this Christmas season, the tree is still lit, we're still singing Christmas hymns, we also remember the cross, because that's where Jesus delivers on being our Savior. That's when he makes his name and fulfills that name, because he will save his people from their sins. So the next time we find someone detracting us from the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to go back and point them back to this text. What does the name Jesus mean? It basically means we have a deliverer, someone who saves us from sin, death, and the devil. Why? Because we are sinners. We have fallen short of God's glory. We need that deliverance. On this day, we also mark the end of a calendar year. And we look toward the new year ahead. And in one essence, we want to forget about the past, especially some of the bad things we have done. Maybe some of the good things we want to remember, but we want to forget about the past, at least the things on where we screwed up. And we're hoping that maybe 2005 will be a better year than 2004. But as we see the name Jesus, we remind ourselves one important thing. I've sinned in 2004. I'm going to sin again, probably in 2005, even though it hasn't arrived yet. I still need a Savior. We don't need to worry about how 2004 ends, especially with the tragic loss of life in the Southern Asian area. We hope and pray that doesn't happen for 2005. But if it does happen, we still have a Savior. Tragedies may come. Good fortune may come for the new year. We still have a Savior. We also may be thinking, time to make those New Year resolutions. Do you always keep those New Year resolutions? I don't know about you, but I don't always keep them. At least not for long. I may try to do my exercise program for the first month or two, but when it comes Lent and things get really busy, that's usually when it starts falling apart for me. I may try to do things a little differently for 2005, but if I fail those New Year resolutions I make, am I any different? No, I still need a Savior. So I'm not trying to discourage you from the New Year resolutions, but to refocus upon what the name Jesus actually means. It doesn't mean that we're going to keep all our promises. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we are going to be the best people in the whole world. What it does mean is we have a Savior, one who delivers us from sin, death, and the devil. And that's where the good news comes in. Because if it was left up to me and my own ability to do things, as I said, I can't keep those New Year resolutions. At least not very well. I can't be that perfect person the way the law requires me to be. Even I have misused the name of our Lord and Savior. I guess I just need a Savior. I need Jesus. So as we approach 2005, let's just remember, we need Jesus. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.